I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Sloan. I'm 15 years old, and I know the NBA. Today's guest is not just a fantastic player on the court. He's an incredible person off it, too. Today, we are talking to Drew Holiday. Drew has made a big name for himself with his amazing skills, especially on defense. But did you know there's so much more to him than just basketball? Today, we find out what he was like when he was 15, how he deals with sibling rivalry, and how he has been able to play 14 seasons in the NBA. This is Sloan Knows. Okay, so Drew, I need to talk to you about this for a second. So you're a 3-time teammate of the year. You have won both a sportsmanship award and a humanitarian award at the ESPYs. You're known to be an incredible husband and a father. And basically every NBA fan knows you to be a great guy. And though I believe that is true talking to you, I don't think anyone can be that perfect. So what are some of your annoying habits and guilty pleasures that aren't as perfect as you clearly are?
Great question. Thank you. I wish my wife was here.
I know. I need to hear her answer to
this. She could answer that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I guess I like what I like. I'm a bit picky and I'm a bit OCD.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's, I like the things the way that I like them. So for example, I don't know, this is going to sound super petty, but like towels, I like the towels put up on the rack and not on the floor,
nice.
Like or on the bed. Like I like my shoes if they're stacked in a certain place and somebody comes in and moves them. I'm like, all right, that wasn't like that, and I know it wasn't like that,
yes.
Even though it's crooked a little
okay.
bit. I'm very, very, very OCD when it comes to stuff like to my stuff.
Yes, yes. So
your stuff can be as dirty as you want it to
okay,
be.
Okay, great. It is going to be. Just so you know, I'm
right.
actually probably the opposite of OCD.
Right, and mine's like, so you're like my wife. She's not dirty, but like sometimes she just doesn't care. And I'm
I wouldn't say dirty. It's more messy.
Messy. Yeah.
So how are you liking COVID then?
Well, COVID was fine because I was at home. So when I'm at home, I just pick up after everybody.
Oh, okay. That's
so everything.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I'm yelling at my daughter, but I mean, my wife, I'm like, she's my person. So I'm cleaning up after her.
So sweet.
Yeah. That's why she married me.
Stop it. You're just making yourself sound so perfect. This is supposed to be
believe
a flaw
me, I'm
question.
Not, I'm not perfect. I like it annoys the heck out of her. It annoys her, which I get because like, again, I like the stuff the way I like it. And if she's like more lenient with that type of stuff, I'm like on her.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you don't see the toothpaste? It like, don't squeeze it like that. Roll it to the top.
To
and then, you know what I mean? So I'm different.
Would you say you're like that in a basketball setting as well?
A little bit. Like, I hate sweat. I hate other people's sweat. I don't like the dripping sweat, especially like if sweat gets on me, I'm like, I need to take a shower now. It's just stuff like that I don't like. I do like some structure. I do like, I guess I do have like certain things, maybe the way I wear my shoes or my jersey or something like that. But I think I'm pretty simple because I keep it to myself. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Again, you can do it or whoever can do it the way they want to do it, but my stuff has to be my way.
I love, you learn something new every day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm 15 and I'm going into 10th grade. And so, you know, we all know Drew Holiday now, but I want to know Drew Holiday at 15. What were you like at 15?
It's crazy because I played 15 years in the NBA, but whatever.
It is crazy.
At 15... I was a normal kid. I think I tried to be. I love playing sports.
A normal
sports.
Kid who is the Gatorade Player of the Year. I mean, feel like that's not that normal.
I love playing sports, but I had friends. I like to hang out. I mean, we just had kickbacks. We'd go to Six Flags and go on the weekends. We would. One of our friends' dads was a doctor, so he'd give us like the little pass to if somebody was injured. And when you take it to Six Flags, you can cut the lines.
Mm.
Right, so I'm doing dumb stuff.
Of course,
you know what I'm saying? I'm doing dumb stuff, yes. Too. But I hung out and played sports.
So when you were 15, your brother Justin was 16 and Aaron was 8, I think, if I did the math correctly.
Yeah.
Yes. So in the backyard or in the front yard, when you guys go to play basketball, like what does that look like?
It was fun. So we had a hoop in our front yard, and we actually played 2-on-2. So my little sister played too, and my little sister would beat up on my little brother.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, crazy. She's still to this day the strongest woman that I know, 100%. So when we played, it usually be like I would guard my older brother Justin, and then my little brother and sister would guard each other. But it came a point where Aaron just started like beating up on everybody.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's just like the younger sibling syndrome,
like killer instinct,
getting beat up for so long, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden like. He's just naturally stronger, and he's just like this little beast who doesn't care about like destroying stuff. But he used to try to run through us. It was, I mean, it's cool to see now.
I'd want to see that.
We take it easy now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too old now. My knees.
But. And stop. But who were your role models at 15?
15. One was my dad. My dad has always been like one of my biggest role models, just because. So both my parents played sports, but I think the way my dad kind of handled sports for me and my siblings was cool. He never forced us to play.
Yeah.
But if we were going to do it, we were going to take it seriously. My older brother I looked up to, and I don't think I ever tell him this, but I looked up to him just because he's like big bro. He always looked out for me.
Yeah.
If we were in school or something like that, or if I ever needed anything. But like sports-wise, I was a big Kobe fan, a big Magic Johnson's fan. I thought I was going to be 6'8". Doing all that, and I ended up not being 6'8". So
I feel like other things worked out for you.
Other things did. You know, it's not that. Yeah, I did my thing. But also Tracy McGrady, like the battle between Tracy McGrady and Kobe was like, that was like the battles that I loved to watch. So.
And, you know, you're saying you looked up to your brother and your dad and all those guys. But living in L.A., was there anyone in the league that you actually knew and that you were able to form a relationship with?
Baron Davis.
Baron Davis. My guy.
Yeah,
you know,
I was saying,
he's been
he
on
did
Slow
it,
Nose. Yeah.
Yeah. And he looked out for me. And this was like before, because I mean, obviously, I went to UCLA, but he went to Crossroads.
Yes.
So every time.
My school's rival.
And every time. Let's not get into your school. Every time I went to Crossroads, like you would see his picture because obviously he was a man there. And every time I walked by his picture, I'm like, I'm gonna kill this team. And it was just like I looked up to him so much that like I wanted to be better than him. So every time I'd play their team, I'd try to like destroy him. But he just always took me in like a little brother, looked out for me with like whatever I needed, and then to this day just still cool. And I mean, you know him, just like
one of the
chillest people that you'd ever meet.
For sure. And also, I know when you were 15, like you were saying, playing Crossroads, there's a lot of other NBA players that grew up around the same time as you in LA. Like I know PG and DeMar DeRozan. Do you have any stories that you can share to us about your experiences, you know, meeting up with them?
Yeah. Me and Paul actually played a couple tournaments together on the same pump and run team. He wasn't as good as he is now, but like, so he was like a late bloomer.
That's what he said. But it's funny because I just watched an interview of him and he was like, yeah, I was a late bloomer. I didn't dunk till I was 14. Like,
crazy,
I don't think in like normal code, that's being a late bloomer.
By 19, well,
in comparison
okay. Yes. DeMar DeRozan, sixth grade.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sixth grade was the first time I saw him.
Jalen Green said the same thing, sixth grade, which is insane.
Insane. Yeah. And I feel like DeMar can jump out the gym and Paul can too. So, like, being somebody who was in sixth grade and could dunk, and what are you, 11 or 12?
Yeah.
Crazy. Like, I mean, and I'm like, I'm not athletic like them, but I'm like, by 13, I'm like, all right, I'm dunking. Mm-hmm. This fool was in sixth grade dunking. Yeah. And then you think of somebody like Paul who, not until like 14 or 15, started dunking and is doing crazy dunks now.
Yeah.
It's like he was a little late to like the athleticism a little bit, but mm-hmm. I think when the skill started picking up with the athleticism, Paul was tough. But like growing up with James Harden, we played on the same travel team, Brandon Jennings battling him since sixth grade. Like there's a group of LA dudes that like kind of held down LA for a long time. So it's cool to see like your friend succeed.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, on top of that, like, was there a time where you ever went to one of them and you were like, wait, I think we can all go to the league, you know?
You know, I don't think we ever had that conversation. I think it was just more so we were all kind of top guys and you just kind of knew.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you ever really needed to talk about it.
Yeah, because it was just the thing.
But we were also like, we were competitive when we played. We were competitive on the court, but off the court, we were friends. So like, you still wanted to see him succeed and everything. But talking about it, I'm not really sure we ever were like, yeah, you know, 15, like, yeah, we can go to the league.
Yeah. But then I'm sure it was such a surreal moment than like, meeting up with them in the league, and then you're like, wow, we've really been with each other
It's so cool. So last year was this last season was the second time I was an All-Star, and me and DeMar were on the same team.
Yeah.
So even talking to him, like, bro, you remember where we started? Or even, like, battling at, I went to UCLA, he went to SC.
Yeah.
Being able to, like, kind of go through this journey together and kind of separate was insane. So just to reflect on it, like I told you, we're going into our 15th year. We're the same draft. Just seeing like...
Which is like one of the best draft classes of all time.
Let them know because they be sleeping on my draft class, bro, and I'm tired of it. But it's cool to see that kind of where we've come from and then see even like how DeMar's done. Because I think a couple years ago, like he was in the MVP race.
Yeah.
Like he was like top three players in all the NBA. And I'm like, I remember that dude when he was 11.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, you can't sleep on DeMar's mid-range. I mean, come on.
You can't. No, closest thing to Kobe.
But what I'm curious about is like, you know, winning Gatorade Player of the Year and all of that. How are you able to stay humble in high school? People don't realize how hard it is to win all of those awards and have all that hype on you and then still be able to do it, you know, 15 seasons later in the NBA.
I guess a couple of things. One, my mama. She'll humble you quick. If you ever meet my mom, you'll know why. But she, I think she just kept us grounded. Obviously, being religious, being a Christian, that was a part of our belief. But my mom was always meant for us to be humble. Again, I had an older brother who people kind of judged us based off of me because, like, they would say that I was the better basketball player, but in my opinion, I'm like, well, we're the same. We do everything together. And in that, we also had to be humble because we're 14 months apart. Everything we did, we battled.
Yeah.
And it's like, there are times where your family, you could really like start to have hatred or envy toward that person because of, I mean, for one, you're with each other all the time, but there's this, all right, well, they say he's better than me and he's not, oh, he's the younger brother, he's the older brother, but we were never like that. Like, he's my best friend.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to see him get the best that he would ever have. But I would say the second thing, honestly, I don't care. I don't care for the accolades. It's cool to have a ring. I'm not even gonna lie. To have a championship and to have a gold medal, excuse me.
That's a flex.
That shit is sweet. Yeah, hell yeah. But other than that, for me, it was just mostly about, like, having fun and winning.
Yeah.
And having fun with like people that I loved and loved to play with, and then competing against the best people and beating them.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it was like, I really just, that's all that really mattered to me.
And speaking of your mom, I know both of your parents played at Arizona State. There was no, you didn't want to go there? You were 100% UCLA?
Actually, no. Wasn't 100%. My older brother went to the University of Washington, so that was always a possibility. I really wanted to go to Carolina.
Really?
And I got recruited by Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I visited Carolina. And the time that I went to visit, they actually had the 75 and 82 championship teams there. They were awarding them. I know.
That's crazy.
The first time I met Michael Jordan. Like, first time.
Gosh.
And I've never been starstruck. And there's only two people that I've been starstruck with, and he was one of them.
Who's
and
the other?
Denzel Washington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's the GOAT. But meeting him, I was like, dang, I'm about to go here. But it was too far from home.
Yeah.
And I'm a wimp.
That's like an unfair recruiting standpoint. Like, you can't just like put kids on a tour of a school and be like, oh, there's Michael Jordan. Like, of course they're going to want to go there. You know what I mean?
I think that was kind of the point.
And like,
he knew my name.
Like, look, they need to look into that. Like,
bro, he knew my name and everything. And I'm like, I got to come here now. Like,
yeah.
I got to go to the school. Well, I ended up choosing not to go there, and they ended up winning the championship that year. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like we've talked a good amount about you when you were 15. I feel like we would have gotten along. I think so.
We probably, we would have been friends.
Yeah, I think so too. Cool. Okay, good. But now let's talk about you in your NBA career.
Okay.
So what was one of the most memorable plays of your career?
I'll give you two. One was like my welcome to the NBA moment. I'll give you three.
Oh my gosh.
One was my welcome to the NBA moment where it was like, I mean, you're a basketball head, so you know this, but LeBron was in Cleveland the first time, and it was like him, Shaq, and Big Z. And like, I sub into the game, and I'm like, no effing way. Like, how am I supposed to do this?
Yeah.
Like, there's 3 7-footers right in front of me. What am I doing with my life? That like freaked me out, but I made it through. The second one was, and I think you had Dwight on the...
I did. Mm-hmm. Well, look at you, you're like a slow nose expert. Thank you.
Hey, well, he dunked on me, and it was a bad dunk.
That's tough.
It was really bad. And if you look it up, it was really bad. But
trust me, we will, and we will put that clip right next to your head, okay?
Do that. Well, Jameer Nelson, I might even turn it over. I think I turned it over. So, you know, after you turn it over, you got to hustle back.
Yes.
Get on defense. And Jameer Nelson, who I ended up becoming teammates with later, and we talked about this, he threw the lob up. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go get it. And I didn't see Dwight behind me.
That's a rookie mistake.
One of the craziest dunk ones that I've been a part of. But yeah, that was bad. But the other one was the steal to the lob in the championship game five.
So talking about, you know, all these memorable plays, what would you say is the most memorable or important defensive play of your career?
I would say the steal to the
steal
lob.
As well.
The steal in game five, Phoenix taking it from D-Book and then throwing the lob to that, like, after that happened, I think we knew that
we were going to win the ring.
Yeah, we're getting the ring.
And how do you think your game has sort of evolved since your rookie year?
I think I've just gotten, it's kind of weird, like classier. Like, I've like kind of smoothed out the edges. I feel like I'm more efficient. I think obviously with age, like, again, with age, bro, you start to get old, you start to feel it. I definitely take care of my body better. But skill-wise, I think that basketball became a lot easier. I started figuring out the game. Yeah, just the things that I was good at, the things that I knew that I could do better than others. And then trying to work on my weaknesses, but really trying to perfect the things that I felt like I was good at.
And then what would be one piece of advice that you would have said to your rookie self, knowing sort of all you've accomplished now?
Keep going. I think that sometimes it gets hard, and I don't think that people from the outside understand like how difficult this business is. Where sometimes you see it like with trades and maybe even sometimes contracts, injuries,
yeah.
But there's also every year another group of guys coming for your spot.
Yeah.
Well, and they're younger and they're more athletic. They're like mutants now, because I don't know how they jump and so high and how they're so fast, but.
Or how they're so tall. I mean, Wemby is.
Again,
I don't even.
I'm one of the shorter ones.
Yeah,
I am. I'm one of the shorter ones. So at the end of the day, I'm always looking up at people. But it's always like you have to get better every time.
Obviously, you're not a short person, but saying you're one of the shorter ones, what is something you say to yourself when you go up against these like giant guys? Like, how do you stay sort of confident in yourself that you can really defend them?
You know, that's just my ability in the weight room and kind of filling up my strength on the court, being able to stay lower than them, having that type of leverage. But a lot of it goes to my older brother, because my older brother is, he's 6'6", and he has like a 7'1 wingspan. So when we played growing up, he would always block my shot all the time. And I had to figure out ways to like either go higher, go like reverse, or do other things to score. And that helped me out a lot, because now I'm going against like 7-footers and guys who can do all that type of stuff. So that was a real big plus for me growing up with the older brother.
I get that. So now we're going to move on to my favorite segment. We're going to get a little bit more fun, okay?
All right.
So I don't know if you're prepared for this, but this is Takes Hotter Than Kelly Oubre Jr.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you heard me. So we got to go hot, okay? Let's go, Drew. Are you ready?
No.
Okay, well, you should be. Which NBA player style do you wish you had?
Mine? No. Man. Shea.
That's, yeah. But I can't really see you in like the big red boots. Like, I feel like that's not your vibe.
But that's one that I wish I could do.
Okay, you wish you could pull that off.
Yeah, I wish I could pull it off, and I can't. I think I think his style was like, it fits him well, and how he carries it. I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
I'd like to see you showing up on League Fits this year. Please, I'd like to see that improvement.
Probably not going to happen.
No, I can help you. I think so. Yeah, I'm willing to.
All right, let's do it.
As long as I can get a little bit of that compensation for all those, you know, all those flicks, I think that would be fine.
We can negotiate.
Okay, great. We'll do that off camera.
Yeah.
So considering soccer runs in the family, you know, Drew's wife, Lauren, quite the soccer player, which NBA player do you think would be the best soccer player? And can you play?
I can play. I used to play a little bit when I was younger. I think that if I trained, I could play. But my wife would probably disagree. The best soccer player in the NBA. It has to be somebody like a foreign player.
It's the European guys, yeah.
It's definitely a European player.
You know, Joel Embiid also, he sometimes like juggles pregame. He's nice.
I can also juggle.
What's your record?
Oh, I don't know. But like I do it all the time. Like you said, soccer is just around here. So there's a grip of soccer balls, basketballs, whatever. But I've seen Giannis juggle quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
You always see somebody like Jokic or Luka. Like, you always see European players doing it, but they're all huge.
Yeah.
Like, literally, every person that I name is at least 6'6".
Yes.
So, and are we really going to run as much as soccer players do? But I guess if we train for it, maybe.
You think so?
A European player.
Interesting. So, I'm just going to be real here. You're one of the best defenders in the league, or the best defender in the league. Who do you think is one player that is unexpectedly really hard to guard? I stumped you, I think. I'm very proud of myself. I like the silence.
Yeah. Only because I feel like the ones that are hard to guard are hard to guard.
Yeah. More like, you know, from the outside as a fan, oh, maybe we don't see that, well, Bobby Portis was a teammate of yours, but we don't see that he's, you know, super hard to defend. Something like that.
So there are players that are, they're like, okay, so Bobby is hard to guard because, like, you pretty much know what Bobby's going to do. Mm-hmm. He's going to get to a pump fake or a pull up. He can obviously step back and shoot a three. He's very good with his body, so he shoot a like a jump hook. But like some players, you can't stop. Like Bobby, you can't stop because if he gets to his pump fake or his fade, you're not going to block it. Like if he misses it, it's pretty much just because of him. Same as like DeMar.
Okay.
You're not going to block his shot. It's not like he has this like crazy handle or whatever, but scoring ability and mid-range, like you know what he's going to do, and he's just going to, honestly, he's just going to cook you. So that's kind of where I'm going. There are players that are like really shifty. I hate guarding smaller players.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather like use my strength and guard like somebody who's either my size or like a taller player, but smaller guys like Isaiah Thomas, I hated guarding. Kimba, I hated guarding. I mean, Kyrie, everybody hates guarding Kyrie. But yeah, I would say guys like that for me, like the smaller, shiftier guys, hated. Shea, hate guarding him.
And coming from you, who would you say is, who do you not want to see guarding you when you're taking up the ball?
You know what's funny and ironic? One is my little brother.
Really?
Only because...
Well, you know he's out to get you, you know?
I know. And that's one reason why. The other reason is because he knows my game.
Yeah.
And I would say my older brother too, but we've had that battle a lot more because of our close we are, how close we are in age. But my little brother, again, he's 6 years younger than me, so I didn't really like see him play and stuff in high school. Mm-hmm. But seeing him in the league, and he's stronger now, and like he's just as quick and more athletic. Like, he hounded me last year in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Ripped me in the backcourt. And I'm like, dude, get off me. Mm-hmm. Like, leave me alone. Yeah. go.
You should have called your mom about it.
Like, she might have.
Mommy.
She, you know what? Don't do that. he be hounding the hell out of me, and I don't appreciate it. So I'd probably say him.
Come on, Aaron.
Nah, jerk. We're family. Like, don't make me look good, but don't make me look bad.
That's like me in like pool basketball with my brother. Like, it's just something with your siblings where you just like gotta get at them, you know?
Nah, I'm cool.
Are you really? Because you didn't seem cool. You seemed bad.
No, I'm a little bothered. Yeah, I'm a little bothered. I can see
that. Okay, so what do you think is your favorite arena to play in environment-wise?
Atlanta gets crazy. Phoenix is crazy. I used to love playing at Staples Center. Sorry.
Crypto.com. Come on, Drew.
For all the old people. Staples Center was like, that was like the Mecca to me. Again, there's a lot of people out there like.
Say MSG, yeah. But I understand. I mean, as LA kids, we grow up going there. There's something super special about that environment. Something about it.
But I would probably say Philly or Boston. Mm. Playing in Philly and like my first 4 years in Philly and growing up, like as a. I mean, because I came in at 19, so growing up and then growing my game in Philly, like, it's hard to play there if you suck.
Yeah.
And we sucked for a couple of years. So, like, they're on you every game. But if you're good, they're the, like, best friends and they ride for you. But Boston is similar to Philly where if you're, like, a rival team.
Oh, yeah. They're mean.
And I love it. Like, it's just, it's the environment that you want to play in. Like, you want people talking trash. You want them to, like.
That fuels you?
Oh, 100%. Like, I have one of my best friends. We played, I was in Philly and they were in Boston. Or I was in Philly and we're playing Boston in the playoffs. And almost got in a fight with somebody in the stands in Boston. That's what I'm talking about.
I sort of think I wanted to see that. Like, that would have been cool.
I love that. Like, I'm right there with you. Like, if I seen it, then I'm trying to hop in the stands with you just because, like. I need that type of, like, that trash talk. But yeah. Portland's also a good one. Portland gets crazy.
And then, you know, we were talking about Philly. Out of Philly, New Orleans, and Milwaukee, the three cities that you've played in, which city has the best food?
Oh, New Orleans.
No
Hands
question.
Hands down.
You like beignets?
Never had a bad meal in New Orleans. Yeah, love beignets.
You know, my mom was just in New Orleans, and she brought us back home a bag of beignets. And I went downstairs to get one, and it was empty because my dog ate all three of them.
Is your dog? I think my dog. Well, your dog is living the best life.
He really is. Yeah, he would have to agree with you on that New Orleans comment.
Yeah. New Orleans is crazy. Yeah.
For sure. And then which celebrity non-NBA player would you say is the best at basketball?
You know, I think Chris Brown is good. I've seen Chris Brown play and I'm like, yeah, all right.
Like, do you think he could play pro somewhere or like not that good? Just like, he's okay.
I think that if he trained, he'd, because he's already athletic.
Yeah, he could get
there. I think
that
if he's trained, he could. Oh, I mean, J. Cole is nice too.
Yeah. But he's also been pro.
He's also been pro. Yeah, and he played in college.
True.
Yeah, so yeah.
All right, so let's say you just won a big game and you want to treat yourself with a cheat meal. Where do you go?
Unfortunately, I do cheat meals even when I lose. But
oh, Drew. Stop. Okay. Like 5 minutes ago, you said you need to treat your body, and then you just encourage cheat meals.
I'm a foodie, and like I said, New Orleans is crazy. They had all fried food. Mm-hmm. It was never had a bad. Anyway. Look, my favorite food in the world is orange chicken. So be Panda Express orange chicken. And don't judge me for that because it is fire.
No, it's so good. Except for one time, I found like a piece of a fork in the chicken. So that like freaked me out a little bit. But other than that, we can just pretend like that didn't happen.
Yeah,
otherwise,
that's never happened to me. So I'm going to play like you didn't say that.
Yeah, just.
Or an Oreo McFlurry.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Or an Oreo McFlurry.
Wait, what about the two of them together?
I've never had them together.
Because that's different palates. Like, I don't think you can mix that, you know?
You can always have.
Really?
You can always have dessert.
Well, you can always have dessert, but like Oreo and orange chicken, like, I feel like it's like orange chicken and then like ice cream, like vanilla ice cream.
This is how you know I'm a fat person at heart. Because that does not matter.
That's so sweet.
That does not matter to me.
Really?
Orange chicken with white rice. And then after the meal, you need dessert. I'm going to McDonald's and I'm getting an Oreo McFlurry, extra Oreos.
heart of a champion, I guess. I guess if you want to be an NBA champion,
somebody has to do it. Yeah, might as well be me.
Speaking of you being an NBA champ, you know, you were an NBA champ. You were voted the best defender in the league. You're a two-time All-Star and a gold medalist. Yet you still aren't the best athlete in your house. That's sort of awkward, isn't it?
It's not.
It's because, not really.
Nah, I married up. I chose.
Yeah,
right.
You did. Uh-huh. You know,
I had to get on her level. I think being married to my wife is super elite. Just, I mean, being able to see what she's gone through, be there for some of the times where she's won, but how competitive she is. She's the most competitive person that I know now, still to this day. Card games, Uno, Phase 10, we could play whatever, and she has to win.
Yeah. And, you know, Lauren's 2015 World Cup final goal, you know, that nice volley. What was going through your head when that went in?
Oh, I was going crazy. I think being a fan is like one of the best feelings ever. Yeah. And then to see like your person doing like what they do and then being excellent at it, like there's nothing better.
At, you know, the U.S. games, do you go all out? Like the flag on your face?
I will send you pictures.
Oh, yeah, please do.
No, okay. Face paint, everything.
All out?
100%. And got the jersey, like, got the heavy.
Does
everything.
She go all out at your games? Like, is she like dressing up as a buck? No.
No.
Oh, wow.
My wife barely comes to the game. Oh. My wife, look, you got to talk to her. She barely comes to the games. Which, like, we have kids now, so I understand. But even before, I just think maybe there were so many games. Like, we have 82 games. And sometimes, I guess, they could be a bit long and boring. But, like, she does not. It's definitely different type of fandoms.
So I want to move on to this new segment that I tried out with Chris Paul, but now I'm going to try out with you.
Okay.
And basically the idea is so much of the media is focused on negativity, right? And what I'm doing here at Slow Nose is I am a teenage girl. I'm bringing a new, different, diverse perspective. So instead of talking about negativity, I want to talk about positivity. And I feel like the perfect person to talk about positivity with is my guy, Drew Holiday,
I'm with that. Yeah.
Okay, so let's start off with this. What is one thing that makes each of these people that you've played with so special? So let's start off with Giannis.
Giannis, I think it's his attitude, like not only toward the game, but to life. Like he's a super positive person. Everything that he does and puts his mind to, it does it like 150%. But he's also this genuine person where he appreciates everything. And I think it's probably because of like how he grew up,
his beginnings,
his story, like literally getting it out of the mud and where he is now, he does not take that for granted. So how he treats people and how he handles like the fame and all that. And me and my wife talk about it all the time. Like it's so graceful, like the way that he does it. He makes people feel like they're important. And I feel like that's kind of a skill that like a lot of people don't really have. Especially when you honestly have every right, if we're at the zoo and he's with his family, like we're with our family.
To say no,
to say no, but he still like makes everybody feel included and doesn't really make anybody feel bad in that sense. So that's cool about him.
I'm also curious to know about your standpoint on his candy addiction. Like, what is that?
I don't know. You know, I'm not that big of a candy person. I'm more like cake, like apple pies, pastries, and ice cream. But candy, I don't know. I don't know what that is.
I've never seen someone with like that physique eat that much candy. Like, I don't know how that could possibly be possible.
I think that's just God-given.
Yeah.
I think it's genetics, yeah.
Okay, so next teammate we're going to talk about is Khris Middleton.
K-Mid. I think that K-Mid is very, he kind of has like this to the point about him. Like, not really like beat around the bush or play games. And I like the directness about Khris. I also feel like because people don't know Khris because he's kind of guarded, he's actually really funny. I know he's actually like a really funny person getting to know him, but I feel like the way he plays, kind of how you see him like maybe in the media and off the court, you would think that he's like more of a serious person, but he got some jokes.
Okay, next, Anthony Davis.
AD, that's my guy. I think... AD is like a brother to me. Like, after his rookie year, I went to New Orleans. Yeah. So being able to see him from his second year on, he's really family to me. Like, seeing him from that time to him now having a family, he's just like, again, he's family to me. So he, you know how like sometimes you have like a soft spot for somebody? Yeah. Like that's like my guy. Like I, anything that he.
But when
would
playing against him, there's
would,
no soft spot.
No. I mean, if I'm
it
not
all goes
do
away on
my,
the court.
If I'm not gonna do that to my brothers, then I'm not gonna do it to him. Mm-hmm. And he's 8 feet and has a freaking jump shot, eight which feet. Is nice. Look, I'm not that tall. I'm.
Well, in comparison
right
to like every
average.
Normal human
I'm
being,
right
okay, but
average.
in the league, yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm right above average, like in life. Like, what's the average height? Isn't it 6 feet?
I do not think it's 6 feet. I mean, I don't know. We can fact check this, but like,
to. But I would say if it's 6 feet, I'm just right above that. I might be 6'4", so it's not that bad. Do we know?
5'9".
Oh, well, okay. Never mind. I lied.
True. Come on.
Sorry, bro. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
well, you live in a world where there's a lot of tall people, and so you have an unrealistic standard in your head.
And that was just proofed, and that's okay.
Yes, it was.
I can admit my wrongs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, one thing that I want you to know on this show is that I'm actually always right.
Oh,
so
Sloan knows?
Yeah, exactly. Sloan knows it's in the name. So unfortunately, you were wrong. I was right. I may not have an NBA championship ring,
I have another wife.
So. Oh yeah, me and Lauren very similar. I think so too.
Always right.
So what was the best compliment that you've ever received from another NBA player? And I think like I've asked this question before and I understand that it's difficult, but you're a guy who was voted by all the NBA players as the best defender. Like I just can't imagine how that feels. And you know, Steph Curry, who I would say, I mean, you know, I've
he's
never been
alien.
A defender in the NBA, but he
he's
said that
alien.
You're the oldest, the hardest person to ever have guard him.
And that's a definite compliment coming from him. I've heard it from quite a few people, which I do cherish and like appreciate that does mean a lot. Also because like defense is hard.
Yeah.
Like we get the short end of the stick. If it's like between offense and defense, people would rather see offense and all the scoring. But that's cool to hear. Another one is like, so I just went to the ESPYs and I saw Jamal Murray and he was like, yeah, I just wanted to tell you like with your left hand and stuff like that, like I used to watch you like on YouTube. I used to like study you and I'm like, holy shit.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess I don't see myself as that type of player. Like people are looking at my game or studying. So when you kind of hear that, it's like, well, maybe I am doing something right. And again, the people that are like in this grind with me, like in the NBA, like real recognize real, like they see your game and they appreciate it and they try to take some stuff from you and learn that way. And I'm like, man, that's cool.
Yeah. And you just keep leading me right into my next question. It's just
telling
like, perfect.
You, we're here.
Exactly. We really are. Mm-hmm. We see eye to eye. Besties actually, right?
Besties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So talking about that, you know, recognition for all these guys, is there anyone in this current draft class that you really are rooting for that you really want to see succeed?
I think it might have to be Victor.
Yeah.
I feel like, and again, I don't know the pressure. Like, I have some pressure just from, I mean, my job, but like, he has all the hype.
Yeah.
And I think to be able to mentally.
He has all the hype and all the hate. You
and
know?
All the hate, right.
There's two sides of that.
You're right. So I think to mentally, like, try to balance that and still stay on top of, like, these are my goals and this is what I want to do. Like, that has to be hard. Like, you look at so many number one picks and you've seen, like, how they go or how their career ends or how their career is going now. But I think I'm just pulling for him just because he seems like a cool dude and he has skill, especially at his height. So I want to see him succeed.
And, you know, like you're saying, as one of the veteran players in the league, you've seen so many players grow and improve over the years, as have you. Which player's development and growth has impressed you the most?
It's a great question.
Thank you. I'm good at asking.
I know. I hate these questions. Yeah. I hate questions that stump me. Well, I guess I'm thinking of somebody who, like, maybe you guys would be surprised by.
Yes.
Or that just, like, kind of came out of nowhere. Like, you knew Julius was going to be a beast.
Yeah. I guess Cam Thomas, like, on the Nets.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's someone that just came
so somebody,
out of nowhere.
Right. And I like that. I like that, like, when he got his chance and his opportunity, he took full advantage. And the fool was averaging 40 for, like, 2 weeks straight.
Or again, like so many guys like this on the Nets, but like Mikal Bridges, like the idea that once he was given that opportunity to shine, he was able
to.
I saw something the other day where he was saying he was like, in high school, in college, I wasn't even able to crack 30. And now in the NBA, on the Nets against the top competition in the world, he's able to do it.
It's
that growth that's cool to
see.
That's
what I like to see. And Mikal is tough. Like you could tell that he always had like the gifted athleticism and stuff like that. But I think kind of when the skill meets the athleticism, it like, you got Mikal Bridges, somebody who's like cooking and then doing all that.
Oh my gosh. What's your go-to? Celebration, like.
I don't really have one.
I feel like, yeah, you don't really celebrate.
Yeah, I switched it up. There was one, I was watching this show and it was, it's called The Last Kingdom, it was on Netflix. And the dude would like pull out his sword. So after everything, I'd like pull out the sword. And then Wes Matthews with the.
I like that. Okay.
Because they call us twin, because they've called me Wes Matthews for like the last 2 years. And then they've called him Drew. Our kids went to the same school and they would get us mixed up.
That's crazy.
People in the facility, like if I walked and they would see the back of my head, they would think that I was Wes.
That's crazy. Can you do, you know, I don't know if you've seen that video, but there's this like video of Neymar and this like little boy tells him to do this celebration and then he does it. And I feel like we should like make up one. So like, I think you should do, I don't know like what exactly it is. Like I need to think really quickly here, but we could do like a, right, like this heart and then you like go like that. And then like
is that like a broken heart?
It's like a broken heart, but then you're like completing the heart. Like,
are we
like
doing that together, or is it like
no,
that,
no? You're like, doing like, it like, oh well, we can.
You know what I'm saying, like,
but no, it's like a when you as a celebration.
You mean in the game?
Oh,
okay. My bad. I thought we were just doing for slow nose. No,
I'm hardcore. I'm talking about in the game.
All right.
Like, I'm talking about like you just hit a buzzer beater and like you like look at the camera and you're like, oh yeah, slow nose. You know what I mean? Broken heart, filling it. Yeah,
I might have to.
I better see that. I'm excited.
I might have to adopt that. That's actually not that bad.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Why do you sound surprised?
I'm not.
I'm a winner. I make good celebrations, Drew.
I see.
Okay? Yeah, you better. God. Okay, this is getting awkward. I'm not sure how much longer I can talk to him. But anyways, okay, so have you had an interaction with a fan that has left an impact on you? Oh, maybe that one. Did that leave an impact on you?
Because you're not a fan. You're more family.
Oh, so touching. Okay, thanks, Drew.
There were, I guess, a couple. So I always wear these. You see, like, the WWJD bracelets. And one of the fan noticed, and, like, randomly, I don't know if it was in Philly. I think it was in Philly, but randomly, like, came up to me and was like, hey, I'm a big fan. I see that you wear these. And, like, I've never, I hadn't seen them for a long time, but I always see that you wear them. And I looked them up. So he ended up bringing me, like, a pack of them. And I'm like, you know what? Sweet. That's really sweet, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, that's so sweet. Like, like, thank you. Another one was this kid when I was in Philly, was super young. But I didn't know him at the time. But I ended up coming back in Milwaukee maybe a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And he just, I don't know. I don't even know how I got introduced to him. But he pretty much said, like, I remember you from your rookie year. And you gave me, like, this pair of shoes or something, and he brought them, and that, and I was like, dang, dude, like, that's cool. Like, you, I feel like he appreciated maybe just what I did or whatever, but I think sometimes I have fans who appreciate you maybe a little bit more than basketball. It's always, always cool.
You probably forget how touching something you can do can really mean to these people.
Yeah,
you know what I
mean? And you see, you meet so many people, especially during the season or at a game, and so much is going on. Like, you're exposed to so much. You're trying to win a game, and if you lose a game, you're hot. But then you also have fans that you have to take care of, and you don't want to disrespect. Because, I mean, they're the reasons why we're here. But I think to be able to, like, balance that and then still find, like, these people who are, like, super generous, or even because, I mean, yeah, we do have a lot of things. But I think it is, like, the generous touches that they give. That's really
cool. Yeah. Okay, so I feel like we've done that segment well. It was very positive, no negativity, except for our little fight in the middle, but that's fine. We can.
That wasn't negative. That was more family stuff.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
True.
We bounce back from
exactly.
That.
So I feel like, you know, Sloan knows. I feel like I know your game. But do you? I don't know. I don't know, Drew. So I'm going to ask you some Drew Holiday trivia. I'm asking Drew Holiday trivia. And let's see how Drew Holiday can do on Drew Holiday trivia. Okay?
All right.
Okay. So in 2008, you played in the McDonald's All-American game. How many points did you have?
Wow. 7?
Oh, that's so sweet that you think you were that bad. No, you actually had 14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, good job.
Oh,
congrats.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, good for me.
Okay, and then, even harder, bonus points. Who was the MVP of that game?
Brandon Jennings.
No, Tyreek Evans. Yeah.
Tyreek.
Okay, Drew, let's step it up here. How many steals did you average your senior year of high school?
6.
4.8.
Wow.
Yeah. That's still good.
Overshot that.
Yeah, you did.
Overshot that by quite a bit.
So in the class of 2008, you were the number two ranked player in the country. Who was the number one ranked player in the country? No, BJ Mullins. Bonus point if you can tell me what number he was drafted in the 2009 NBA draft.
He went first round.
Yes, he did. After you. Not directly, but.
23?
Oh, 24. Oh, okay, my gosh. Was so close. I feel like you sort of get a point for that. Like, that's close.
Thank you. I get half.
Mm-hmm. In 2014, you were traded to the Pelicans. What did the 76ers receive in that trade?
Nerlens Noel.
And?
Some picks? I don't know.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And a first round draft pick. Oh, good job.
Okay.
Your NBA career high is in points is 51. What team was this against?
The Pacers.
Yes.
Okay. It just happened.
That was easy. Yeah. Now I would like to stump you. Okay, ready? So you and your brothers.
You haven't been stumping me?
I have, but like this is like the real stump. Okay. You know what I mean? Right. Actually, those other questions weren't even meant to stump. You just got stumped. This is actually meant to be hard, okay? So you and your brothers, Justin and Aaron, were the first group of three brothers to play against each other at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There are 13 other groups of siblings currently in the NBA.
Right now.
I was going to say name five of them, but if you would like to try all 13, might as well go for it.
The Lopez twins.
Yeah.
The Morris twins.
Yeah.
The Wagners.
Yeah. Why'd you say it with an accent?
The Wagners. The Antetokounmpos.
Yeah.
The Holidays.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
The Balls.
Mm-hmm.
There's 13?
Yes. There's
currently?
Yes, and there's an obvious one that you're missing.
Brothers. Am I tripping?
You are.
I mean, there's the Martins.
Okay.
There's...
You're thinking too hard about this. Just like, think about... It's like, whenever people talk about the Holidays, they also talk about this other pair of brothers. Like, the brothers in the NBA. There's like three. It's like the Antetokounmpos.
Oh, the Currys.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, I was thinking the Balls, because, again, there's three of them. There's three of us. Yeah. They're from the IE. I grew up in the IE.
Yeah.
So, like...
Chino Hills.
Yeah. So like it was like that was the first initial. I'm like, oh yeah, it had to be them. But yeah, mm-hmm. The Currys. So was that seven?
Yeah, you're at seven. I understand. Like these are a little bit harder.
Okay, name them. You have them?
Yeah. Okay. So Keegan and Chris Murray.
Okay.
Okay. Evan and Isaiah Mobley. Amen and Nassar Thompson. So those three, I get why you wouldn't get those. Those are like fresh. Those are like new.
Should have known the Mobley.
Jaden and Jalen McDaniels.
Okay.
And then the last one, Trey and Tyus Jones.
Okay.
And then to be honest, I don't even know how to pronounce, it's Julian and Justin, and I don't even know how to pronounce their last names. It's like Champagne. See?
Champagne?
No,
I don't know.
No. That would have been really embarrassing if I couldn't say.
No. I don't know. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're.
You know what? Mr. Brady, my English teacher, who is Drew Holiday's high school teammate.
I'm my teammate, yeah.
You just really did not teach me well because I clearly can't read. So
I mean.
And this is an NBA show and I can. I don't know.
English teacher.
He is an English teacher.
He teaches French.
Okay, but he teaches like basic literature.
Oh, very true.
You know what I mean? Like I should be able to read. I'm going into 10th grade. Yeah, so true. Sloan knows.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, Drew, I'm going to do the outro. Later, so that's Sloan knows. Yeah.
Sloan does know everybody, everything.
So true. Thanks for listening. For more on Drew and to watch all the fun we had behind the scenes, follow me at Sloan Knows on TikTok and Instagram, or hit the links in the show description. Remember, that's Sloan with an E.
From Jam Street Media.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my six decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.